Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
So I went and watched the new Wrath of the Titans yesterday.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's
how can you be so busy to watch? Where you say, I can't watch any movies, I have no time. And then you make time for Wrath of the Titans.
Well, I had a day off yesterday, and me and the wife were in Osaka, and we figured, okay, we got some time, let's go watch a movie. So there's a couple of Japanese ones, and then Wrath of the Titans! She really wanted to see it, so.
Yeah.
Well, I was willing. You know, I don't mind shutting off my brain for a dumb action flick, and Clash of the Titans was, I won't call it a good movie, but it was enjoyable to watch. This one was not.
Oh, so you're saying it's worse than Clash of the Titans?
Oh, much.
Yeah, Wrath of the Titans make Clash of the Titans look pretty good.
There's like no love story throughout the entire thing, but one of the last scenes, he just goes up to the woman, quote unquote, and just snogs her right there in the tent. It's
what happened to the other woman
in
the first movie?
She died.
At least.
You mean the immortal woman who can't die, who Zeus brought back to life? Yeah, she died.
Oh, spoiler, sorry.
Does she die like before the movie started?
It shows him stacking stones on her Karen grave.
Yeah. Oh, like one of those lame sitcoms where you get it. We don't want to hire two adult actors. Oh, now I'm stuck with my three daughters.
Well, he does have a son.
Oh, Perseus and son.
Yeah.
My one son.
Helion, yeah.
I thought it was Helios.
Helios, yeah. Helion was the different word.
Helion. Oh, man. No, that's what he was.
It was weird. Like, when in the beginning, the first big battle scene, a chimera attacks a villain, or chimera, whatever you want to say. And it's weird. He's yelling at his son to run away, but he's kind of running towards his son. So he's like, the chimera's following me! Get out of here! Get out of here! Yet he's running in the same direction, trying to get to his son. So he's almost like he's trying to lead the beast onto him, but. Yeah. Oh, it's just bad. The ending.
So you chased your son down. Yes. And you tackled him. Yes. And you threw him into the chimera. Chimera's mouth. Yes. But I told him to go away. I guess you can't charge him with murder. No.
They assemble this spear of tritium?
Tritium
or something. I don't know if it's a real one and I've never heard of it before.
I don't think so.
It's where they take Zeus's lightning bolt and Poseidon's,
trident
and Hades' stick and they put them.
It was a stick. Exactly. Yeah.
They put them together into this one awesome uber weapon, which Sam Worthington then drops down
the bad guy's throat.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, this is a spoiler, but I don't care, because there's no tension whatsoever. It gets to the end, and Zeus is like, hey, Perseus is here to save us. And it's like, yeah, I know. This movie, he's going to kill him. It's going to end. This you never worry about anything bad happening, because they just show him as being infallible the whole movie. But he rides the Pegasus down the monster's throat, and he brings up the spear, and then he doesn't throw it. He just moves his hand forward, and it kind of tumbles.
No, it wasn't even that. He just kind of like, it almost looks like he trips on something, drops it.
It's
and
so strange. There's no power. Like, it literally just kind of bounces down the guy's throat, and then he explodes.
Yeah, that was pretty lame.
Yeah. So.
It was to show another dimension to Perseus.
He was
clumsy.
The wussy one?
He's clumsy.
And the other thing, like, his whole character is about how I'm human. And I want to be just a regular person, a man. At the very end, his son says, you know, Dad, I think I'm ready to go back and just be a fisherman now. And he's like, nope, we can't do that. Here's a sword.
Well, he knew a sequel was coming.
I guess so.
Who are they going to fight? I don't know.
Or maybe he finally learned it. Like, Zeus is like, come help us kill this guy. No. Okay, now he's just going to kill, you know, millions or thousands of people. Plus all the gods.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I guess I'll get around to fighting.
All right.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to be nasty.
So, it had some cool bits in there, some nice set pieces. The Cyclops in it were really, really, really well made as far as CG creatures.
Yeah.
They're rendered well, they're modeled well, they looked, when looking at them, you could think that they were, like real actors green screened in. They looked so realistic. I thought they were really well done.
But they're giant.
Yes.
So wouldn't their proportions be inhuman?
Not really.
No, they did just the scaled up person.
Aside from the single eye thing.
It's not like a, yeah.
Yeah. But they are huge too. I think people only came up to about ankle height to them, so.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing compared to Kronos. You know, he waded through a mountain and, you know, Perseus rode a Pegasus down his throat to drop his spear. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, you guys could have saw a battleship.
This is true.
I'm sure it would have been better.
It's like Transformers on water.
Transformers 1 on water.
Oh, Wayne, you've been seeing a lot of movies. You saw John Carter.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jim Carter. Better than Wrath of the Titans, but then again, so just about anything. I don't know. I was a little disappointed in John Carter because, like, no spoilers here, but they added a level to the story, or they added kind of like another plot thread to the story that I didn't think the story needed.
Hmm.
I think they probably felt they had to update the story and throw in a few things, and I just don't think the story needed it. It would have worked fine on its own. So, it was okay.
You're sitting there like a teapot. Seriously, listeners, he was looking like, you know, I'm a little teapot.
All right.
Here's my handle, here's my spout. And he was hitting me with his handle.
I'm going to tip him over and pour him out.
No comment at all.
Imagine Wayne goes to a bar, standing there like a little teapot. Dude, I'm just going to tip you over and pour you out. He's like, where is he getting that from?
I don't know. What's going on here?
All right.
I guess that was more of a visual kind of thing. Eh?
Yeah.
All right. You're a little bit ahead of us in Game of Thrones, because we've only seen the first episode, but you've seen the second.
Oh, yeah, I kind of cheated, didn't I?
No.
Yeah.
Watched the second. And, well, so if you've listened to the podcast before, you know I'm kind of like a glutton for punishment.
Welcome to the first 10 minutes of movies we hate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I liked parts of episode two. I thought the Iron Man and Pike those scenes were really good.
Mm-hmm.
King's Landing scenes were okay, but I didn't like scenes beyond the wall or on Dragonstone. Because I felt, again, that they changed too much of the plot. Like I was telling Lyle earlier, for me, this isn't just kind of like a line rewrite or like combining certain characters. They've really changed the characters, or the personality or character of some of the characters that have made them kind of very different from what's in the book, especially Stannis. Anyway, so perhaps they'll try and develop those characters more as the season goes on.
But they already said that they were changing. They were changing the story for the second season. I mean, into the series knowing that.
The showrunner he had an interview recently and he said, well, they'll always check with Martin to make sure that they're not going too far off track, that they can't bring it back to follow his, like, storyline. They have read the books, but they're also checking to see what Martin has planned, and they run things by him and said, if we do this, is that going to be really tough to bring it back based on what you've planned? So. Yeah, so Martin signing off on it.
Yeah.
Or counting the money. Whatever. I can't hear you with these millions of my ears.
What's that? Yeah, yeah, whatever. Go for it.
All this money. remember I'm going to go make it rain.
Remember that episode of The Simpsons where they're like,
Ned Stark, Crossdresser? Sure, go with it, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, how do you sleep at night? You know, on top of a big pile of money. I can see that the Martin fans. Like, how can you call this Game of Thrones? How do you sleep at night after you butchered this? On top of a big pile of money.
Well, hey, we probably should have ended on Wrath of the Titans.
Yeah.
Because that had some big people. Which leads into our topic, which is our next feature. Giants.
Yeah. And Game of Thrones has some giants.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
We haven't seen them yet in the TV series.
Yeah, that's right.
And just as a reminder, what we do in a creature feature is we begin by talking about the creature of legend, reality. When we cheat and do bankers.
The legend of bankers.
And fiction. And then we'll move on to, playing giants as antagonists and protagonists.
Yes.
All right. So to open up, we'll talk about, giants as legend, you know, in legend and in fiction.
Yeah, you kind of brought it up before, Wayne, that giants are really similar to vampires in that...
They suck blood! Rah!
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Wait, no. That, like, every culture around the world has a giant of some sort. It's really not much of a stretch of an imagination to imagine a big dude.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those weird things that kind of shows how similar cultures are, as you said, Chris, because... Yeah, a lot of...
Well, not really. I think what Chris was saying is like, it seemed kind of interesting, except when you really think about it, it was like, ooh, what could be a monster? How about like a big one of us? Ooh, yeah, that would be scary. That'd be stronger than us. Yeah, that would be pretty... Yeah. Yeah.
Where does he come up with this stuff?
How about some small people? Like us? Yeah.
Yeah.
Small.
Yeah, people that are dumber than us. Make a great story.
And people that are smarter.
You guys rip on me about beating the joke to death. Jeez. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to run out of gas, and you're still going.
All night, baby. I mean, it kind of makes sense with if you talk about how stories were passed in oral tradition. You know, if there's a story about a big guy, it says the stories go on and on. He probably gets bigger and bigger.
Than or smaller and smaller. Mm.
So what are some of the big features that giants have?
Well, kind of. Oh, clever, you clever man. How did I not see that joke coming?
Sorry.
Man, you just crack yourself up over that, don't you?
Slimy.
Besides being big, a really common element is that they're sort of, I don't want to say a proto-human race, but like the previous civilization or the previous, they precede something.
Yeah, pre-human.
Or pre-gods. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at, the Greek gods, the Titans preceded them. Mm-hmm. If you look at, for example, I'm going to edit all that
out. Or the Ipsy?
Yeah. So we're looking at like the Bulgarian giants, the Ispolin. They were there before the humans in Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that also true on like the British Isles as well? Like kind of the belief of finding these like massive stone formations and kind of stone structures. The explanation people came up with was that there was a race of giants here before us.
Well, like the Fomori?
I don't know if exactly it's the Fomori, but I know that's not, of course, exclusive to like the British Isles. Like that is kind of what I meant when I said there was like a common theme across the cultures, and that Lyle said they're kind of like a pre-existing race. Mm-hmm. And in several cultures, it's kind of like, well, how did these giant ruins pop up? Hey, there must have been, you know, giants here before us.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So, well, kind of interesting. Giants kind of built the world or all these kind of structures that you live in.
Well, that was part of the Greek mythology as well. The Cyclops, they're kind of a different kind of giant, but they were very involved with Hephaestus in building everything.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
They were his workers.
Yeah, and just like the Titans came like before the Olympians, there's actually another race of giants called the Gigantes that came after the Olympians. So
one big, huge family.
Lovecraft plays with that a lot.
Oh, yeah, with the Cyclopean architecture and the monoliths and stuff.
Yeah, so massive that it's really difficult to imagine what race or preceded them or that would build these cities. Mm-hmm. It kind of breaks your mind.
Mm. The other one that Lovecraft uses a lot, non-Euclidean geometry. Oh, the buildings aren't meeting at right angles. Which has nothing to do with China.
No, I just wanted
to throw it in. Yeah.
Thanks.
I don't get it. Sure. It's so big that it breaks your mind. These stairs are huge!
You seriously wouldn't like come up to a set of stairs that you had?
That you couldn't climb because they were too tall?
Right.
I can see how that would be pretty freaking amazing, but driving me insane because of it? Eh.
But then there's also like the strange shapes and things like that.
Oh, the non-Euclidean geometry? Yeah, that totally.
Oh,
totally
that's smart ass.
I'd be gone right there.
This is like it's like a round room.
But big doors? Nah.
Whoa, hold on. So I just found out that this giant like plateau I'm on is actually a single stair. And something walks up, and no big deal. But whoa, this room has no corners. Ugh.
There's something walking up, and that might do it.
No, I didn't say you see the thing walking up. But you're telling me that you're like, wow, this is a stair. And
what about, you know, in the movie Godzilla? And it's also in a Lovecraft.
But it's also giant. Oh.
Yeah. Where they're walking, and they go, where's the footprint? And you're in it.
Yeah. Like, the Matthew Broderick one?
Yeah.
Godzilla was a hermaphrodite?
Yes, that's the one.
Oh. Kind of like King Kong, too. You know, giant footprint.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going with the hermaphrodite thing.
No. He just wanted his fashion advice from Fay Wray.
Yeah, so that's one of the common elements.
Hermaphrodite.
You're going there.
Proud of yourself, Darwin?
I am.
Another thing is, a lot of them were afraid or would turn to stone when the sun hit them.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they were nocturnal, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or dead.
Not much of a choice on that one, huh? Yeah, it seems like that one seemed to be kind of an ancient culture's way of explaining odd rock formations.
Yeah.
The stone
and
kind
it seemed
of
to be more northern.
It must happen.
Like the northern cultures use that a lot.
I know it's very specifically like the Norse ones. What, did you say the Celts used it as well?
Well, the Icelandic, they'd be Norse as well. But they have two rock formations. One's a female giant, one's a cow. And then something happened to the male giant. I don't know how they know that.
Okay.
Well, because it's not there.
Right. I guess it was there at one point.
It was there, and then it's not. Yeah. It was there when it was a giant. Then he walked away. It doesn't really make that much sense to me either.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And also, you know, like trolls, which we are going to be saying are giants.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of justify sitting through Troll Hunter.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was part of our research.
All right. Sorry.
I'll say sitting through. It was a good movie. I liked it.
It was all right.
Yeah.
Troll!
Yeah.
It has a nicer ring than giant. Because some of the other features that aren't really common to all giants, because generally we think of them as just...
Could we save that until after the common features?
All right. All right. Did you have more?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
There's also...
a big step back. Whoa.
There's also that they tended to be meat eaters.
Mm-hmm. Savage in both the sense that they were barbaric, where they only wore skins and clubs in some of the later areas, but savage by character and behavior, or even if they still were somewhat civilized, they still were
militaristic and brutal. Yeah.
Didn't they also kind of represent the force of chaos in at least more than one culture?
Definitely in the Greeks, they're like very primordial, but it gets back to being like previous.
Yeah, if you go race. To some of the Arab stories, they were very specifically primordial. They were spirits that represented chaos or the primordial elements. I think genii were often giants as well. So, they could change size. So,
just a check. Didn't Lau just kind of say that?
Did you say genie?
No, but he was following it up.
All right, sorry.
That's called a conversation, man.
All right. Learn to have them. Supposed to hear rants and monologues.
Yeah, and they certainly play that up in things like Jack and the Beanstalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've mentioned this in a previous episode, or maybe in a few others, but what was it? 3.5's Heroes of Horror does a really good job of like telling you, you know, giants are really scary because they look just like you. So really, when they eat you, they're cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, not to get into chimpanzees again, but.
Giant chimpanzees! Well,
that'd be pretty scary.
Yeah.
But they attack monkeys. And of course, they're different. Of course, a chimpanzee and a monkey are different, but they look so similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's very disturbing to watch a chimpanzee eat a monkey.
Yes, yes.
And to
it's
like raid.
Like a chimpanzee eating a baby.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I watched the same documentary as you, Lal, and they did. They picked up another baby chimp and started eating it. It was horrific.
And they also eat human babies as well, yeah. But yeah, it's like raiding and it's like, it is. It would be like watching giants and watching these chimpanzees sweep through the trees to grab all these tiny monkeys. And then they're holding them, this like limp monkey in their hand and then just like feasting on it. It looks like, yeah, giant people sweeping through a village of normal people.
And, slightly less giant people.
Oh, even more so. I mean, you add in some of the technology and some of the abilities of people. I think it was the Jack and the Beanstalk one where he says, I'm going to grind your bones to make my bread. I mean, it's one thing to savagely take another animal and eat it, even if it's the same type of animal as you, but to have the knowledge and the ability that it does look like you and is like you, just a smaller version, but still be so barbaric to it.
That almost reminds me of one of the Narnia books. It was one of the later books in the series, and the main characters kind of enter this city of giants, right? And everybody's being real nice to them. They can't sort of figure out why. And then, you know, of course, it's a kid's book, so you know what's going to happen, right? But like some of the cooks and like the main characters are kind of, oh, we feel so sorry for you. And the kids can't really figure out why because they're dumb. And of course, it's just because that the giants are going to like fatten them up and eat them. So that was kind of, well, not really scary because you knew what was going to happen as soon as they walked in the city. But
yeah.
Still, it's like keeping people as like livestock.
Yeah.
Smart giants. Ooh, that'd be pretty creepy if smart giants did that.
Well,
kept like a breeding stock for animals.
That's what
except for the people.
I can't really recommend the movie, War of the Worlds, the new one. Steven Spielberg, Tom Cruise one. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
But, they're not really giants because they're machines.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly that image of them sweeping through the field, just like scooping up the people.
Yeah.
And then processing them or whatever. Mm. Yeah. But certainly that image, if you had like giants just like sweeping through a field, yeah, more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or sweeping through a city, like which we're thinking like, of course, fantasy, but if giants were around now and just having them sweeping through, just eating people, you know, you imagine the mass of zombies coming through the city street. But how about, you know, just one giant and then you turn around, there's another giant and it's blocking, you know, like Times Square or something like that. And you're just like, oh man. We're effed.
Like, even if they are kind of dumb, like, they have, like, an animal cunning. I mean, if you get them, like, a lion or a wolf, like, pack mentality, then, yeah, that would be incredibly terrifying. Like, you have, like, a line of giants just like approaching, everybody runs the other
and
way.
Fast.
Yeah, oh yeah. Man, well, you said like the pack of wolves, like,
well, yeah, they would
maybe coming down different city streets to herd people. Yeah.
And like, oh crap. And yeah, that would be pretty horrific. Yeesh. And then if you kind of borrow on that new War of the Worlds thing, so they're scooping you up and chucking you in their back with a wicker basket. And
oh, it's just little holes in it. You can see people.
You're just sitting there in that basket with like all these other people with them getting dumped on top of you. And you're just like, ugh.
And the other one is they tend to be portrayed as antagonists of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
That was a common element. That's in like Norse mythology, Greek mythology.
Biblical mythology.
Against God?
Yeah, because everyone who fought them was with God or a representative of God.
All right.
God didn't come down and smoot any giants, but...
I can see that. That was a glass next step. All right, after this little shrimp, David, I'm coming for you!
Oh, no, you're not. I will guide that stone.
Well, that's in Hindu mythology, too. They're kind of adversaries of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're going to make these gods to be, you know, the biggest and greatest of everything, to make a good story, you still need some kind of conflict. So not a surprise that there would be a character invented that would go against them.
Hmm. So what are the non-common features?
Oh,
the
I guess.
Uncommon features, I should say.
Go for it, Wayne.
Yeah, they're jumping all over me. Like shivering a giant on a human. But,
the pause there was great.
Yeah, I know.
I just have the look in your eyes, Chris. You're just like, whatever.
So I guess some of the Greek myths depict giants as having like snake legs. Or like snakes, four legs, or snake tails. And
that's pretty uncommon, yeah.
Yeah, I think some of the Norse mythologies, in addition to having giants that were human size, also.
That wasn't uncommon.
Yeah. Whoa, that guy's a giant. Whoa, really? He's like, what, 5'9" maybe? I guess he's a little bit tall. But, some of the giants had, I guess sort of like bestial features, were mm-hmm. like claws and horns possibly. So I guess a little bit closer to, as you said, Chris, the like trolls.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of see where trolls grew out of kind of Norse legends of giants and jotuns.
From what I read, thank you, Wikipedia, it said that trolls and giants were interchangeable back in the old days. But it was after Christianity came that trolls were, I guess, giant creatures who didn't accept Christianity. So they were bestial and savage and things like that.
And that's one of the things I did like in the movie Troll Hunter. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of clever the way they played on that.
That they can smell the blood of a Christian.
Yeah,
Intelligence seemed to be a pretty big variable with giants. It seemed the further back you go, the smarter giants get, to the point where the Greek gods and the Titans were as intelligent, as powerful as the gods were able to beat them. But you come forward to, like the grim fairy tale giants, and they're kind of like the modern perception, big, stupid, slow.
Yeah, I think that Jack and the Beanstalk and Jack the Giant Slayer is really kind of, shaped what modern people think giants are.
Yeah.
That kind of stereotype. You said kind of big, slow, dumb.
Yeah.
Brutish.
But in Norse mythology, they're outsmarting Thor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, so, yeah. Yeah.
That drinking contest. And
yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
The race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, even though this is a common thing. Yeah, jumping back. They also, even though they were, I guess, kind of enemies of the gods, again, several cultures, most noticeably like Greek and Norse, like the gods actually take giants as wives and husbands and sire children with them. Like even Thor, like the notable giant killer, actually had a giant wife and produced offspring. So,
yeah, that's kind of disturbing to really imagine that. Because yeah, it gets into the cannibalism thing, and they are very similar to people.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be that attraction, and we see that with in the Bible, although it's a little bit contentious what exactly they are, but the Nephilim, yeah, whether or not how big they are, it's unconfirmed. Yeah. Still waiting on the reports on that one.
I mean, it's in the Bible, which means it's true.
Yeah, but it's unclear, we'll say, in Genesis. But like one interpretation is that they are angels who left heaven to basically breed with women. They fell in love or lusted after human women. Now, if there's a size difference, that's pretty... Did they survive?
Well, they must have. Well,
but if there were offspring, kids, then they probably would have, hey?
They kind of do that.
Did they survive giving birth? Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know. They kind of do that in Harry Potter. Like, at least two of the characters are half giant, or have giant blood in them.
I always thought that was really disturbing. Hagrid's little brother, the giant, he keeps him chained up in a forest.
Yeah, that was kind of, yeah.
That's just mean, man.
Again, it's kind of one of those things.
The whole story, like, just forgot about him.
Is it a monster?
It's not a monster. It's just really stupid. So, like, he's too dangerous to have around in normal, regular sized society
because
he breaks stuff. Because he really has a kind of a toddler-esque intelligence. Mm-hmm. So he keeps him chained to a tree in the forest.
Yeah, he was
he can't, like, build him, like, a little...
Well, exactly.
Put him someplace where he might not do so damage yet can roam free. I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of...
And they're wizards. Can't they, like, do something? They can fix his brain.
Like, zap him away?
Or zap him to an island? Like, yeah. a tropical island and just have constant food there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things, like, yeah, it's a kid's book, but you kind of don't really realize how creepy this actually is, you know?
Yeah, so back to disturbing him, more disturbing.
Let's get off this stuff that disturbed us and get on some more disturbing
Let's
stuff.
Let's get back to rape, sorry. And actually, the Nephilim kind of leads into another uncommon feature, but it is in some legends, is that the giants were kind of like the heroes. You know, like Ajax was a massive person, Greek hero Ajax. Mm-hmm. And the Nephilim, and I guess we'll say the Hebrew legend, they helped to spawn, or they were either great warriors themselves or their offspring, let's say the half-angels or the half-giants, were great warriors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I read something where it said, like, Ajax's kneecap was exactly the right size
to use the child's discus.
Child's discus, and they said, like...
That would put him at 14 feet tall.
Yeah. I'm like, that's freaking heroic, 14 feet tall, yeah.
Well, that's the age of heroes, yeah. Mm. Yeah. But we do. We admire, like, size. Mm-hmm. So the Space Marines aren't small.
Yeah.
In 40K, I mean, people look up to, like, athletes. Mm. Well, just massive.
Size is power, hands down.
And it still is, even in modern society. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten away from that. So even though, like, somebody with an advanced degree in something, or very good at a very stationary activity such as computers, probably wields more power now. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, we still admire the big, brutish person. And, you know, maybe that gets back into both, we both love and hate giants. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that's possibly the reason why, like, after Grimm's fairy tales, like, quote-unquote modern-day giants became dumb? Because, like, kind of, I guess this is all speculation, but you look at the Age of Heroes, right? And, no, these people are larger than life and, you know, not that they thought that they themselves would become giants, but they're someone to look up to. But then in, like, the modern age, you're like, wow, this guy's, he's big, he's huge, he's strong. I'm never going to be able to beat him. I'm never going to be as good or as big or as strong as he is. So they have to have some fault. Let's make him dumb, which means we'll always be able to outsmart him. So it's kind of that whole morality thing about, you know, being smart beats other qualities. And again, it's all speculation, but.
There's that one theory that people have devolved, that there was a golden age of the great heroes. And this even might be related to some Christian theories. And we've gone away from that golden age of these huge, massive heroes of the past. And now we've gotten not only, like, less moral, but we've gotten smaller in stature. Oh, they're talking about, like, some sort of fictional, mythical golden age of these giant, like Ajax was a good example for the Greeks. But, you know.
It kind of ties back into the Greek thing as well, as you said, because, like, by some interpretations, like, the reign of the Titans was kind of a golden age, at least for people. I mean, kind of sucked for the Olympians since they got eaten, but.
Yeah, that would suck.
But it's, yeah, that kind of golden age, which, again, kind of ties into that idea of, wow, look at all these kind of ruined, giant ruined structures. Who made them? Wow, the people who made them, they must have been great.
Yeah. So I think, like, more so than, like, other monsters such as, like dragons, is when you really start to, like, scratch under the surface for a giant, look under there's, like, both, you're both recoiled and repulsed by him, but you're also, there's a great admiration because they have a lot of characteristics that we do admire in people. So it begs the question, is, like, there's different things you can do, and it has been done in some settings and some stories, is why don't they run things?
Hmm. Well, that's what I found most interesting the more I looked into Giants, is that they are and can be played as humans. They have all the flaws, all the desires, all the wants, all the hopes of regular people. They're just really big.
Magnified.
Yeah. You can do it in a heroic sense where they're larger than life. They're extremely brave and heroic. Or you can do it in an evil sense where they're extra petty and savage, or really just treat them as normal people. You know, how would a person react who's 10 feet tall, but he's still in love with a regular sized woman? That obviously that relationship can't work, but what's going to happen?
Well, Shaquille O'Neal's been married a few times. Well, that brings us into playing them as antagonists. And I guess we've already touched on that a little bit as cannibalistic rapists that hunt in packs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think kind of as you said, Chris, just previously, like, if you're going to do giants as antagonists, like, obviously in addition to the painfully obvious feature of having to be huge in physical size, right? You could also, like, really exaggerate their reactions or their qualities, as you said. Like, a normal person might just be, you know, kind of petty, where, no, this guy's going to be, like, this giant is going to be extremely petty or extremely cruel, or, you know, kind of inflate their personality or emotion to match their size.
Hmm.
Maybe even their stupidity, you know?
Well, I think that's the two big things for me that what to do is with them as antagonists depends on their intelligence and their size.
All right.
I mean, you know, if you have a very intelligent giant or several very intelligent giants, then you have to think maybe why aren't they going to be in charge? Are there other things more powerful than them, or are there just too few to overcome humans? Even if they're stupid and really big, why aren't they in charge? It's the idea of a giant being a majority race would be it's a pretty easily conceivable one.
You know, I mean, normally we separate antagonists and protagonists, but maybe just because there is such a, you know,
human element?
Yeah, a human element. Yeah, and it's hard to say. Yeah, very well put, Wayne.
Yeah. I say it every once in a while.
We should probably discuss them both as protagonists and antagonists.
That's
because
good.
What you're saying, Chris, is like they could rule the world and they could be like malevolent.
Giant tyrants.
They probably didn't even hear what I said over you. So you can guess what I said there, listeners.
Giant tyrants!
Or they could be benevolent. There's a game setting by Monty Cook called Arcana Unearthed. I think you have to change the name to Arcana Unleashed, perhaps, afterwards. But the premise is that the giants are the dominant race.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're intelligent and they're more powerful than the other races. And they've kind of taken it upon themselves to kind of look after the other races. Hmm. It's kind of their responsibility.
So it's more like a benevolent kind of shepherding of the lesser races.
Yeah, yeah. Like caretakers, shepherds, protectors. So, and then they, of course, like they're giants, and then they have, of course, giant antagonists. Not that they are like humanoid giants, but like some sort of like creatures.
Yeah.
That is their foil.
Well, I thought about that. If you have a giant as a protagonist, it's got to be really tough to play that kind of a character, because if you're assuming benevolency anyway, you constantly have to be like walking on eggshells. You know, you could so easily crush and destroy one of these smaller creatures around you. You'd have to always watch your temper. You'd have to the resource issue is a really big thing. How do you get enough food? How do you take care of yourself? Yeah.
Well, it could actually be a way to kind of, quote-unquote, like, balance, like, the PCs if, and I haven't seen the setting, but in a setting where giants are, like, a playable race,
mm-hmm.
as well as, like, other kind of, quote-unquote, lesser races, then, yeah, especially in some systems, you're going to have, like, absolutely, like, huge numbers for strength and hit points, and how would you balance that against another character? And one of the ways could be, as you said, Chris, like the resource thing and, you know, just finding enough food to eat and, you know, finding a place to live and kind of holding on to your temper.
Yeah.
So it, How fun would that be? I honestly don't know, but.
Well, I got two things to say about that. Like the Ubiquity system, the Hollow Earth expansion, Hollow World expansion.
Hollow Earth Expedition.
Hollow Earth Expedition, thank you. That one had, had giants as playable, races. Mm. And it was actually, you took, I think it was point-based, so you took a bone benefit thing where you would be extra large. But a big part of this is how much food you have to eat every day. And you have to stick by this or you're going to start getting weak and dying. Mm. And I mean, that's, I think, a huge counter to be able to just stuff that much stuff down your gullet. Mm. But, if you have a mixed group of giant and non-giant PCs, I don't know. I think it might be really tough to put them together, especially if giants aren't that common. Because, for example, the regular PCs, sure, they can walk into an inn or stay in a tavern, but obviously the giant can't. Maybe unless he's maybe a lesser giant.
Unless he's a human-sized giant.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless he's a Norse giant. Hey, I'm a giant.
I think a lot of the things, again, gathering resources, a lot of things that a giant PC would have to confront and concern them would keep them separate from the other PCs. That's an emotion you can play with. Maybe they feel loneliness or outcast because of this, but it kind of keeps the group a little bit apart, so it's something to be aware of as a game master.
Hmm. I suppose. I mean, I think you would be limited in the sizes that you could play. Mm-hmm. You're looking at 10 feet, 14 feet.
Yeah.
Maximum. But I'm not sure how interesting it would be to play only giants, because you would pretty much just be playing
regular PCs.
Regular people, PCs. Yeah.
Plus Alpha!
No, you're like 20 feet tall, great, and everything else is to scale!
Awesome!
Yeah, but it's huge!
I mean, I could see the appeal in kind of a really romping, yeehaw kind of game where if you play giant characters, so you're going out and instead of starting in first level and taking on dire bears or something, you're going to go and fight dragons because they're about the same size.
But isn't that kind of the same thing? You just like
scale. Exactly, scaled
it's
up,
like,
but it's...
Wow, you're giant! Why am I still using the first
not,
level?
It's not
Why
plus alpha, it's plus awesome.
You know who fought dragons is the Bulgarian giants.
Oh, did they?
That's what they did, the Ispolin.
Yeah, but weren't they deathly scared of blackberry bushes?
But they had a foil.
Which is why they fought dragons and not the bushes.
Apparently these giants would leave offerings at blackberry bushes because they could trip over them.
And that would be proof fatal.
And they would die.
You get a dragon's tail? They can step right over that.
I mean, it's interesting, an elementary view of physics, something that tall falling, that's a lot of force, you know, you could easily die falling over but fighting dragons.
That kind of reminds me of the Warhammer Fantasy miniatures game where they had the Fallen Giant template.
Yeah.
You know, and when you could have a giant on your side, and when it died, you rolled dice to find which direction it falls, and then you put the template down, and anything under it pretty much died.
Nice, nice.
You know? And then I think it stayed on the board as terrain.
Speaking of physics, I think George R. R. Martin tries to have the giants make sense in that regard.
Mm, really?
So when he describes their physical features, they're very leg heavy, like very bottom heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they almost have like no neck, pretty much.
Perhaps, yeah. But it's almost as if, like they're not shaped like, you know, like the classic Greco-Roman, like triangle on two legs. They're
the opposite. They're almost like...
Yeah, it's almost like their legs are like a triangle.
They're like a triangle with the point at the top.
Yeah. So they have very long or very short legs?
I think they have very thick,
It's not so much like...
Like the hips aren't human.
Uh-huh.
Like the hips are much wider than a normal human to support the weight.
Hmm.
And he does good things and really plays with the voice and the way they speak, even when they...
Sorry, I tried listening to the audiobook. The first book is great. The guy has this really deep, booming voice. The second audiobook has this really high-pitched voice, and the guy does Hodor and goes, Hodor! What the heck is that?
Hodor's dying again. There's almost like rocks, you know, like grinding against each other, and that's their voice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. It's a really nice image.
Hmm.
And when they fight... It is pretty terrifying.
How big are they?
They're probably in the 14.
Okay.
14,
yeah,
20 feet.
Not like super big.
Yeah, they could fit into like a barn.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But not into a regular room.
Okay.
Maybe in a great hall if you could squeeze them in.
Yeah.
You know when you watch season one and they go out the wall and they go out that hole?
Yeah.
They would have to, like, try to crawl into it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they were calling him, of course. Oh, that's
And I don't even think, like, the King of the Giants could actually fit all the way in, but he could, like, reach in and stick his head in.
Oh, he's pretty big then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Was it Mag the Mighty or something?
Yeah. And they ride mammoths.
Cool.
Yeah.
Small part of me is looking forward to that scene, even though in the back of my mind I know they're going to screw it up.
No, that'll be really good.
They're only going to be like 5 feet tall.
What is that?
Tiny mammoths.
Yeah. Hey, check it out. Is that Tyrion's brother? No, it's a giant.
Damn you and your money, Martin.
So, I mean, that gets back into, I think you got to play them in a mixed group to mm-hmm. really play up the aspect that they are giants. And I think the lonely aspect would be really good. I mean, mm-hmm. that would be very frustrating. They are the only ones. I guess if you wanted to play everybody's a giant, then yeah, get Death Watch. Oh, and you're all playing like, and that's really hard to like wrap your head around. Because Space Marines are giants compared to humans. Mm-hmm. And the Primarchs are giants to the Space Marines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the Emperor is a giant to the Primarchs. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, I just like.
It's like fractal people.
Holy fractal people, yeah. It's a whole lot of giants going on. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, I think I agree with you. Like, because if you don't have people that are smaller than you, then you're not really a giant.
Unless you played it, I can't remember the name of the game, but there's a game where you play dragons. And a big part of that game is managing the civilization around you. It usually puts you as the king of a territory. And I could see that if you were playing giants and you had to take care of the regular people to build a kingdom.
Yeah, but then again, I guess you're mixing. Right?
Absolutely, like, absolutely. But it's one where you could play all the PCs as giants.
But they're playing in a human world. I understand. Yeah. I mean, they could be just a group of heroes. And they are the great heroes come to life. And yeah, kind of like that game, what, Scion?
Yeah.
Where they are descendants of gods, and you just change it a bit. It's just not. We're descendants of giants.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, in the Scion game, the antagonists of the Scion characters are Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Titans, kind of the idea is the Titans are breaking loose again, and they're going to fight the gods. So you could kind of flip that and say, no, you're on the Titan side.
You've just broken out.
You've broken out, or you're some kind of sort of half-human, half-Titan descendant, and you're going to fight the gods. And
what if you were slow? Like somehow, like, yeah, the giants are not a previous civilization, but a proto-race.
Mm-hmm.
And they were intelligent, and they were the great heroes. And we've devolved, some of us devolved, and where we got smaller, but we kind of retained the intelligence. But some of us devolved where their intelligence is lower, but they retain the size to some extent. Maybe we're not as smart as they were,
mm-hmm.
and they're not as big as they were, but we've kind of like branched into these two races, and then we kind of realize that, no, we're really...
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, really like related. That. And then there's some like... It's hard to avoid it. I mean, if you're playing giants, you need big...
Mm-hmm.
Big antagonists and big adventures. So whatever fought the proto heroes, the great heroes of that past age is back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, what do we have to face them is not these uber men and women, but you have these like half and half.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I
always like, you know, when you, is it Great Expectations or David Copperfield? I can't remember, but he gets adopted. He lives with his sister. And her husband's like a blacksmith, I believe. So he's big
mm-hmm.
and he's a bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like that character. And he's like, you know, I love you like my own David or whatever the character's name is. Great Expectations. Great.
Couldn't you just say son?
Son. I think he calls him by his name, but he says, I love you like my son. And, you know, or even like of Mice and Men, Lenny.
Yeah.
There's a nobility in each of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
That like that blacksmith. Jeez, I'm not really. I really like the character. I wish I could remember his name. But he is like a pure soul, you know. He's just a good guy,
mm-hmm.
and big and strong. And you know, like you just don't want to anger that guy, you know.
Same thing with Lenny. Even though he pet the rabbits too hard, he was
And they played that a little bit with the Incredible Hulk. I mean, he's very like childlike when he was, you know, he would get angry and he'd be mm-hmm. super strong, but he also had kind of a good heart
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
Yeah,
or like Hodor.
Yeah.
And the Hodor's kind of slow. But.
Extremely slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of hard to do, or difficult to do giants in like a modern setting. like some of the other creature features we're talking about, especially like vampires and werewolves. Like, you know, you can kind of work them into like a modern game, but I don't know, giants, just because they're so big and, you know, kind of the world is getting smaller as you encroach on natural areas, kind of like, well, where's left for them to exist?
I can see it in sci-fi and either near future or far future sci-fi because of genetic engineering or cybernetics, but hard to see it in the modern. World, I can see him as antagonist.
I think a really spooky antagonist, because I think that would be, like, really scary to have them just, like, rampage through a city. Everything is so fragile.
I think, like, Troll Hunter would be a really good way of doing that. Take the PCs, not as the hunter, but as the camera crew.
The hunted.
You know, have them, the players, they don't know what they're going in for. They know it's a scenario like Supernatural. They're going to go up against some kind of supernatural thing. And, hey, it's giants this time. Because Troll Hunter was great because it had three different sizes. It had one that was maybe 14 feet tall on the bridge scene, and how that dealt, and then it went all the way to something that was well over 100 feet tall, and how they dealt with that. And I think that's really cool, because if you get something so big, it's not physical, it's a mental puzzle. How do we defeat this thing?
Yeah. Or they could be back, you know, they are the previous civilization, and they come back, and we're now going to take over again.
Yeah.
And maybe they are intelligent, or whatever, but since their previous civilization, they're unfamiliar with the technology.
Well, I think you could play them as sympathetic as well. You know, maybe they are stupid, so they don't realize the amount of damage they're doing. Or maybe they're intelligent, but they feel lonely, so they want to be around people. But it's just too dangerous. They keep breaking everything because it's all tissue paper.
Or you can kind of go the AI route, right? If giants were kind of at one time kind of the shepherds of the lesser races, maybe they fell asleep and now they're waking up again. And we're not evil, but you guys can't run your own affairs, so we're going to be the shepherds again. And, you know, we don't dislike you. We're just protecting you for your own good. And, yeah, don't do that, you know.
Yeah, I was reading an old system a while back, Legend of Angelair. It's kind of a fantasy adaptation of Fate, and they have a lot of information in the back about how to handle giant creatures, so how to deal with them both in combat and physical and character. So it's pretty interesting resource if you're looking for something like this.
You could just scale stuff up, you know.
True. It gets into a lot of the effects of scaling things up.
Sorry. I didn't mean to come off dismissively.
When you want to play Giants.
I realized that. Like, as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, well, I kind of sounded like dismissive.
I play Giants by talking louder.
Like a giant. I'm going to talk over you.
Well, that brings us to the end of Creature Feature Giants.
It's pretty big ideas.
But I'm pumped. Now, before we go, I just wanted to thank the couple new people who've sort of followed us on Twitter and, you know, kind of found us that way. So people said they've gotten some good ideas from the animals episode, and maybe there'll be some, as Chris said, big ideas in this one too.
Oh, boy. I enjoyed it.
The sound of two eyes rolling?
What is the sound of two Chris's laughing?
Loud and obnoxious, as it usually is. All right, well, thank you for joining us again on Idle Red Hands. Check us out online, www.idleredhands.com, idleredhands.com. You can listen to the episodes right there on the website through Stitcher, download it through DriveThruRPG or on iTunes. Give us a post on the website as a comment, or log into our forums, talk to us there, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, send us an email, anything to get a hold of us, because we always love hearing from you and talking to you, because we get bored talking to each other. So, yeah, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Drive-Thru RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive-Thru RPG. The one true source for RPGs.
Oh!
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.